The return to level 3 lockdown is undoubtedly going to dampen what was an already muted economic recovery. And while most businesses can operate normally, there are many, particularly in the tourism, hospitality and liquor sectors, that cannot, bringing future sustainability of these operations to question, especially if the government makes no new relief available to support incomes and companies that have been hard hit. But can South Africa afford a new round of TERS relief? And if so, what does this mean for the UIF? We're joined on the line now by Mzwanele Yawa, who's Chief Director of Corporate Services at the UIF. Thanks so much, Mzwanele, for your time this evening. So there's been quite a push coming through for a new round of relief to be offered via a TERS scheme yet again. Right at the top, is the UIF positioned readily enough for a potential round two?
Well, look, the wise approach that the UIF is thinking of and has proposed to NEDLAC partners is that because the numbers of people who are getting retrenched are getting more than the numbers of those who are affected in lockdown level 3, let the people in lockdown level 3 access relief and sustainability funds through the normal UIF processes, which are processes that are in the UIF Act, which was amended as far back as 2016. That way, the UIF will be fit to attend to both the people who are affected by lockdown level 3 and those who are beginning to be in big numbers, who are retrenched and or losing jobs, so that both people are serviced by the UIF.
But that would only offer relief, one would assume, to those who are permanently impacted by lockdown level 3 as opposed to on a temporary basis.
Quite the opposite, Alicia. The UIF Act has got a variety of instruments. There is what is called temporal relief scheme. Temporal relief scheme is for workers, not retrenched people, who are unable to be at work. For example, let's say the liquor industry, the lockdown is saying be closed for whatever the period. The workers there, because they are prevented from coming to work on that account of the lockdown temporarily, whether the temporal is a month or 2 months or whatever, the UIF then, under the banner of the temporal relief scheme, allows those kinds of workers to be applied for and paid temporary relief schemes so that they go on. Secondly, and in the same space, there may be those who are having to work reduced hours because of the circumstance of lockdown 3 or such similar. And the employer then says, well, because they work for me, let's say 2 hours of the 8 hours, I will pay them the 2 hours. The UIF Act, passed as it was in 2016, provides that the employer can apply for what is called reduced working time relief, which is in the normal UIF Act, and then the calculations shall top up difference between what the employer's hours paid and the workers, the hours that should have been paid. And then those people in their temporal state are taken care of.
Okay, so that's some of the solution then that's being put on the table, Mzwanele. Are we looking at a system that's better equipped now with the right checks in and balances in place to effectively roll out this kind of implementation?
You know, South African leaders are foresighted people. The UIF Act that I'm quoting to you, which is passed in 2016, passed through processes of consultation. I won't be shocked if NEDLAC made a contribution. Parliament surely made a contribution. Members of the public made a contribution. That act is fit for those situations, as though people knew that there will be these kinds of pandemics. It's quite fit.
Those mechanisms may well be in place, but a lot of question or attention drawn to whether the UIF is going to be on its toes when it comes to being able to assess applications this time around to ensure that payments are in fact made where payments are due. I mean, do you have the right capacity in place to get things right this time around?
Look, we could not have paid about 68 billion between March, when the pandemic started, and January this year, if we didn't have a payment capacity. There is no institution in government that has paid that well. Yes, there are some, one or two, which are still being fixed, and the reason why they are fixed, some of them, they are rejected by the banks because the account numbers don't pass. Not so much that it's a capacity issue with UIF. We are not saying that to make ourselves angelic. We are like every other organization, continuously improving. But the point I'm making is that you cannot have an organization that paid 68 billion, and some of the 68 billion, the claim is paid within 2 days or 3 days of application. And then there must be a claim that there are capacity issues. There is certainly no capacity issue.
We had the TERS scheme round one end, of course, back in October. So are all payments on that end now up to date, given the backlogs that the UIF had been battling? Are payments of all outstanding claims complete?
The so-called backlogs are caused by inadequate and incomplete applications by the applicants. So truth be told, it will not be fair for somebody who applies and gives us a wrong account number to expect us to pay.
Not in all instances, Mzwanele, and I'm going to challenge you on that one, because we've had a lot of accounts come through, and on a personal basis as well, where payments weren't made in time and up to date. But like I say, the test is going to come. We're going to have to check how round two plays itself out. Bottom line, before we let you go here, is this something that South Africa can afford at this stage? Because the UIF has, what, about 110 billion rand worth of assets in total, but only 60 billion of that, in fact, liquid.
We are saying to people, so that UIF lives to the expectation of servicing the people who rely on it by contributing monthly, so that when circumstances like the present occur, the UIF is able to pay their dues. We can no longer now continue to pay for people, for example, who never contributed. A good number of employers did not insure all their workers. And UIF, in the good heart of taking care of the vulnerable, extended the payments even to those who are not insured. But they will get to a time, because then the money is not endlessly coming in, because also the contributions now, because of the economic climate, are going down.
Absolutely.
We are not receiving as much as we used to, but we are equal to the task, which are, as we have done.
Is there a significant risk, that the UIF stands as a possible contingent liability for the state?
If we don't manage the process very well, yes. Some people are saying to us in some discussions we are having, continue paying as though there's not that risk. And UIF is saying, we are legally obligated to people who contributed and insured themselves.
Okay.
In the about 15 million people that we have in our database as insured people, if we continue with the tests in the old way, we will find ourselves unable to pay even 1.5 million people who may be retrenched or losing jobs. But if we channel them to the normal UIF claims, we shall be fit and able. And that's all that we're discussing with the other partners. And we're coming closer to understanding each other on that. A further meeting is on Friday.
Well, we'll keep an eye on all that unfolds there. Thanks so much, Mzwanele, for your time this evening. That, of course, Mzwanele Yawa, who's Chief Director of Corporate Services at the UIF.